Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast, and not just any Hot Lava Podcast presented by the Union Tribune, but the final regular season Hot Lava Podcast. Jay Posner, sports editor of the Union Tribune, is with me. Kevin Acey, the Padres beat writer, home for three games against the Arizona Diamondbacks. That would be the Diamondbacks. I guess I'm in a hurry to get the season over. They're the Diamondbacks. Jay, wow. It has been 6 months
to the day.
We're about where we figured we would be, which is we spent 6 months talking about a losing team. But I had fun doing it. They provided some moments for us.
They did, and I do think the team was as interesting, I guess, as a team could be that's lost 95 games. But
there you go.
I was thinking today. I mean, it's actually been 6 months to the day since we did the first one of these. I believe the day before. The season began. The season began, I think it was on March 29, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, it was.
Which is 6 months from tomorrow. And it's flown by, and yet some of the games seemed endless to me. I can only imagine how they seem to you, having seen a lot more of them than I did. But I do think I certainly had fun doing it. I hope the people out there, some of them could say the same thing, at least about some of them, and some were better than others, and we made our best effort. And I do want to say off the top, before people tune out, that we will come back regularly in the off season, beginning early next week, either Monday or Tuesday, with an extensive look at the off season and a lot of the stuff you'll be writing about this weekend. But we do want to get on here and talk about it at the beginning of the week, kind of where this team is, where they're headed, what some of the big offseason moves could be, decisions to make, all that sort of thing. So we'll do that at the beginning of the week.
That, Jay.
And then we'll come back regularly and talk about what's going on, what should be going on, you know, what just happened, what do we think about it, all that sort of thing. And anybody, we've heard from a couple people with ideas, and if anybody else has any feedback, you know, be sure to contact one of us either via Twitter or email or telephone or any other way, carrier pigeon, I don't know, however you want to communicate. So,
well, now that you got the business out of the way, Jay, and I really look forward to those. Those sound like some amazing podcasts. I mean, especially next week, wrapping things up and looking ahead. What are we talking about today, Jay? We're definitely not talking about the Diamondback series.
No, we are not.
What's Diamondbacks, on your mind?
The Diamondbacks aren't even talking about this series after the way they've played in September, completely cashed it in.
The Padres began the month there, and at that time there was a tiny bit of a playoff vibe around the Diamondbacks. Tiny bit, I say, because I think there were like 22,000 people at Chase Field. but the Diamondbacks were certainly feeling like they were in it, and they're not anymore.
So, are you saying that the three rookie pitchers who were lined up to pitch last weekend in playoff atmosphere conditions in LA and are lined up to pitch again this weekend, the conditions will be a little bit different at Petco Park this weekend?
This will be just above their spring training starts. So hey, good for them. And so that obviously, like the theme of the year is one thing about this series. Cool. Let's let Joey Lucchese, Eric Lauer, who will start it all off, and Jacob Nix go into the offseason feeling like, you know, they're whatever that word that you like, Jay, momentum, or feeling that they, you know, they got a good feeling going into the offseason. I'll tell you this, Joey Lucchese in particular, and also Eric Lauer, they've got a lot to be proud of and a lot to work with, in addition to having a lot to work on.
I would agree with that, and I could see them, you know, being part of this rotation next year, and with a lot of moving parts around them, and we'll talk about that more next week. But this team is not going to just need five starters next year. I mean, there's going to be guys that might be in the rotation on innings limits and things like that. But, you know, I'm looking, Lucchese threw 100, he's thrown 124 innings. Lauer's thrown 105 and two thirds. So, you know, not bad for rookies, but 22 starts for Lauer, 25 for Lucchese. So, you know, maybe it's not much more than about five innings per start. But for rookies, probably not the worst thing to go through. And next year, you'd want to see them, if they're going to be part of the rotation in the future, you'd expect to see them ramp that up next year,
uh-huh.
Certainly past 150 innings and maybe even, you know, I approaching 175 perhaps, but at least 150 innings in that respect. Jacob Nix, this will be his ninth start. He'll go past the 40 inning mark, and he's had kind of a short season anyway with his minor league his minor league season and everything. But I guess, you know, the other thing, I mean, you've written about Freddie Galvis a couple times and sort of where he stands, and I think it's something where I'll just tell you my thoughts on Galvis has been that he's been a good shortstop this year. I don't think, you know, he hasn't been the best shortstop in baseball. He's never going to be that. But for what after what we've seen here the last few years, he seems like the best shortstop in baseball because he's so much better than, you know, than what was here, like Alexi Ramirez and the type of people like that. So I think it's been good. As far as, you know, should he come back next year? I think a lot of that depends on what the feeling is about Fernando Tatis Jr. How much are we going to see him next year? Is he going to be a guy that's going to be up here? I certainly wouldn't expect him to be here for the first 3 weeks because they're going to play, I would think they'd play roster games with him. But is he a guy that's going to be here for 140 games, or is he a guy that's going to be here for, I don't know, 70 or 80 games? And to me, that makes a big difference on Galvis and whether he's back. Because to me, his value is at shortstop. His offense is below par, so at shortstop, he becomes a decent enough player. But you start moving him to other positions that aren't as important defensively, and I'm not sure if the value holds up. I also don't think you agree with me, so go ahead.
No, I do agree with you in terms of his value is at shortstop, because then he's dragging you down even further, because subpar is what he is. That's what he is offensively. I do think that maybe there's more value in, you know, maybe some roster construction, especially if they're going to have a swollen pitching staff because of, you know, things they're going to try to do to get through games and give themselves a better chance to win. So they're not always behind in the second, third, and fourth inning. And so Freddie Galvis can move around the infield. Anything I say about, you know, projecting, can he possibly, you know, have a 310, 320 on base percentage? Probably not. His what he does off the field, what that could provide to Urias and to Fernando Tatis, I think that's big. But I think we both know is a lot of it's going to depend on the market and our other teams viewing Freddie Galvis as their starting shortstop. And if other teams are, and they're going to pay him thusly, then no, you know what? As the beat writer who doesn't give opinions, I would say that I understand that the Padres would then politely decline, somewhat regretfully decline, and say, thank you for your service, Freddie.
Right. I think that's fair in terms of how much is this going to, how much would it cost basically to bring him back? And could you find someone else to do most of what he does for, you know, 1/7 the price kind of thing, one quarter the price? I don't know. So I think that is one interesting decision going forward is to see, and we don't know what the market's going to be. And I don't know what the market for, you know, for shortstops is going to be. And for a 29-year-old shortstop, I know he said he wants a multi-year deal. In this day and age in baseball, is he going to get a multi-year deal? That, you know, the old saying, it only takes one team to want to do that. And if somebody offers him, you know, 3 years and 25 million dollars over 3 years, then I think you're right. The Padres, you certainly would understand the Padres saying that's out of our ballpark. We don't see
it's just
that.
It's just not financially prudent, considering that we don't have to do it.
Right.
Basically, the situation.
I mean, so, if you're believing in Fernando Tatis, which I assume the Padres better be at this point, then you know the idea of spending that kind of money for sort of a temporary shortstop may not be the best thing. At the same time, you do want to make sure there's an alternative if Tatis is not here at the start of the season. You know, you don't want to go back to having the Alexi Ramirez days. I don't know why he keeps sticking in my head as opposed to anybody else, but you really don't want to go back to just having a shortstop that can't do the job, and all of a sudden you lose a couple games because of that. So it's one of those things where it's easy to sit on the side like we do and say they should do this or they should do that. And I'm sure we will, but, it's one of those things. It's just difficult to tell at this point. I do think the Padres defense to me, I didn't look at all the numbers. If I looked at a couple charts and it looked like they were kind of around, you probably looked at this more than I did, around average this year, maybe slightly below average. In terms of their defense, do you have any numbers?
It depends on the overall season. Jay, I've lost track here in the last say month or so. There was a point where they were above, and there was a point where their outfield was well above. I actually think it was I'm thinking now late July, Jay, that they were actually above average defensively. Right. If that has changed, which you're sort of leading me, you're making me worry now, when I actually can think of a lot of players who've gotten better defensively, defense not their problem. And that's one thing that worries me if I'm the Padres. And I say, okay, I know I got a shaky, at least starting pitching situation, right? What happens if I don't have reliable defense? It's worse than you can even possibly imagine. Oh, wait, no, you don't have to, because you can just go back to 2016 and 2017. So I just don't think it's so easy to just dismiss, hey, Freddie Galvis is worthless. That's
right.
That's
no, I don't think anyone would say that, but I mean, the bigger issues are the same as always. I look at the numbers here, and I have the stats up for, where the Padres rank among the 15 National League teams, and they're 13th in runs scored, they're 12th in home runs, they're 13th in walks, they're 15th in strikeouts, they're 13th in batting average, they're 13th in slugging, they're 15th in on base, which is where they are every single year. They're 13th in OPS, they're 13th in total bases. I mean, it's just almost every category they're 13 or 15, and that's where at some point you need to see improvement. And I think that, to me, that starts not necessarily with guys like Tatis and Urias, but it starts with Eric Hosmer.
Oh, yeah.
Who has to be better than he I said all the way from like whenever his slump started, I don't know, May or something. It's like Eric Hosmer can't possibly be this player that we're seeing right now. And yet somehow over 154 games that he's played, he has been this player. And that's one of those things where, you can't write off Eric Hosmer after 1 year and say it's been a total disaster. And I know what he brings off the field, but Eric Hosmer has to be better next year. Will Myers, if he's here, and to me, he'll be here because I don't think he's very tradable unless it's part of a whole big deal, but Will Myers has to be better. And Myers was better when he was healthy. Those guys are the guys that are making the most money on the team, and they need to produce offensively. That's where your improvement's going to start in terms of those 13 and 15 numbers.
Right. I mean, you would say if you were assessing this team, starting pitching, then Myers Hosmer or Hosmer Myers. That if you say, where can the Padres get better, or how do they have to get better?
Right.
Of all the issues, you're going to just list them. It's going to go one, starting pitching, two, Hosmer Myers, and gosh, you could even flip flop those, and I would say, yeah, because you can overcome starting pitching by being creative. You absolutely have to have Eric Hosmer be better and Will Myers be healthy and at least as good, if not a tick better, than he has been when he is healthy. So yeah, but now we're kind of varying into what we wanted to talk about last week. I thought we were keeping this micro, Jay, where we were going to talk little issues like Freddie Galvis.
No, and we did. What other little issues do you?
I have no other little issues. I've wrapped them all up. I will say it's a good thing the season's coming to an end. Though maybe if it weren't, maybe I just have senioritis. Maybe if it weren't, I'd find other little things. But I am definitely ready and wrapped up right now in this season review mode because, well, That's all that's left.
Well, I think this week, and I hope this was helpful to the readers. I mean, the stories coming out of San Francisco this week on, you know, Matt Strom and Manuel Margot and Miguel Diaz. I mean, those are, and there's been several stories like that throughout the last few weeks.
Yeah, that's where I've turned
months.
My focus.
Right, is that, you know, look, here's individual people. What does each individual person mean? You know, Matt Strom wants to gain some weight and hopes to be in the rotation. You know, Margot needs, he knows he needs to be better, you know, than he was this year. He was, you know, he was a big disappointment this year. I don't think anybody would, you know. Would,
Andy Green did
would,
not.
Right.
No, would, no one is,
would deny
no
that.
No one has denied that.
You know, Miguel,
yeah,
Miguel
it,
D, right. I mean, Miguel Diaz, you know, a guy that was up here last year and obviously was, you know, looked relatively lost, as you would expect a Rule 5 guy, you know, has 30 strikeouts in 17 and two-thirds innings. He's obviously got the stuff to pitch in the big leagues. And, you know, can he be refined? He's 23 years old. So I don't think he can be written off at all. So I think there's some – it's funny because he's like, oh, boy, it's all – you know, it's a last place team and they lost 95 games and what is there to write about? And I think there's lots to write about and certainly you've written lots over the past 7 or 8 months about all of this.
I'm so fascinated. It's like I want spring training to come and then I actually, you know, it has been fascinating. Now I'm stepping back at the end of the year and seeing it all and saying, and this is what we'll talk about a little bit next week, is how far is there really to go? Because, like, how much longer can we talk about prospects? How much longer can we project what the Miguel Diaz's and the Manuel Margot's can be? And I mean, I'm not saying I'm out of patience or that anyone should be, but it's like, okay, so this year's in the books. What did we learn from it? And how far do they have to go? I mean, we know they have a long ways to go, but we've seen teams do that really quickly. And you know, I'm very, very excited for the offseason.
Right. No, I am too. And I think that we'll come back on, like I said, either Monday or Tuesday and, you know, figure out schedules and that sort of thing and come back on those days and talk about, you know, kind of go down almost position by position, even little player by player type of thing of who, you know, what is the future of Franmil Reyes? What's the future of Hunter Renfroe? What's the future of a guy like Christian Villanueva, who we haven't seen, you know, for a couple months, and Will Myers and Hosmer and Franchi Cordero and all these other guys that have been in and out of our consciousness over the past 6 months. But
so then it'll be either like 3 podcasts next week or a 6-hour podcast.
Well, yeah, we'll have to decide how we want to do that. And if maybe we'll break it up where we'll do the pitching one day and the hitting another day or something like that to give people a little bit of a break from not wanting to hear us for like an hour straight. I don't think anybody
not
ever
even our
wants
wives.
To do that. Certainly not our wives. No. They would be at the top of that list, I'm sure.
You coming out this weekend, Jay?
I will be there tonight, Kevin. How about you?
Okay. I am, yes. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
I will see you tonight, and then we will talk with everybody again at the beginning of next week.
Right on. Then that's the big one. Oh, my gosh. We're going to start preparing right now for that. I'm going to have copious notes, Jay.
Okay. Thanks, Kevin.